WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Paul Robeson just wouldn't hush up. Never mind that he did all right by himself for the grandson of a slave, went to Rutgers on a scholarship and made All-American in football, went to law school at Columbia and picked up a couple of European languages, went to Broadway in a couple of plays by Eugene O'Neill, went to Hollywood and sang Old Man River in Showboat, went to England where they let him do Othello, went to Russia and got uppity, couldn't go anywhere when we took away his passport, and so went crazy from the sadness and the electroshock. This Robeson, when he wasn't singing spirituals at benefits for his disenfranchised people, or for labor unions, or for Progressive Party candidates for president, when he wasn't going to bed with white women like Peggy Ashcroft before she became a dame, and Uta Hagen while she was still married to Jose Ferrer, when he couldn't, because of his skin color, get a room in a hotel, or a table at a restaurant, or a concert hall to sing in like an angel, in cities like New York and Seattle and Los Angeles, this black Captain Marvel, who ought to have been grateful that white Americans liked him more than they liked most other black folks, insisted instead on complaining about racism and colonialism and imperialism and red-baiting. Roy Wilkins of the NAACP didn't like Robeson any better than J. Edgar Hoover of the FBI liked Robeson, any more than either of them later on would like Martin Luther King Jr., who was very different, but just as uppity. So what our government couldn't do to him, the doctors did. They cured his depression by electroconvulsive therapy. They seized his brain. He didn't die until 1976, but he'd been more or less missing for at least a decade before that. Martin Baumel Duberman, a prize-winning biographer and playwright, will tell us everything that Robeson ever said or did, and everything that was ever said or done to him, wherever he went, from Princeton to Paris to Moscow to Prague. A painstaking Duberman paints us a picture that includes the Stalinism and the womanizing, the willfulness and craziness. But we are also always looking at a portrait of someone heroic, someone who discarded his advantages for his convictions, who abused brain and body on behalf of a people not half so blessed. Why did he sink into depression, even as he was free again to travel? Reluctant to psychologize, Duberman nevertheless suggests an emotional breakdown as a consequence of, quote, accumulated denial, a denial not only of the ugly reality of Stalinism, but of the ugliness of human nature itself. He was, in a way, a victim of his own faith in an impossible kind of, quote, revolutionary purity. Too cautiously, Duberman then beats a hasty retreat from this shadow realm of speculation, back again into the safety of letters and clippings, a gray world of disconsolate facts, a history of waste. Paul Robeson is a very long book. It could have been longer. Robeson's wife, Essie, an odd combination of Harriet Mill and Mother Courage, deserves a volume to herself, and it should have been angrier, if only to uncoil some dramatic lunge, some avenging shape. But what it is, patient, scholarly, exhaustive, is enough to dream on and to infuriate.